Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine.
Good morning, sunshine. 7 a.m. on Saturday. Time to talk to your favorite handyman.
I'm so happy to talk to you. You've been my go-to guy for years.
So cozy up with your coffee or get to work. But whatever you do, keep that radio on and tuned in to House Smarts Radio with Lou.
Who's better than Lou? Nobody.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good day, sunshine.
Hi, everybody.
Good day, sunshine.
Lou Manfredini here with you, House Smarts Radio.
Day,
Mike Steven is still here.
Sunshine. We take a walk.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. We have an interesting show planned for you today. Not only are we going to be taking your phone calls, but you may remember probably about 6 months ago, maybe a year ago, we were lucky enough to have a bunch of representatives from different union, different unions, right? Representing different unions about the opportunities to go into the trades and how important that is and the need that's out there. And so this morning, throughout the morning, we're going to be talking with different folks that represent different trade unions across the Chicagoland area. We're going to be talking with someone from the Regional Council of Carpenters, from president of the, we're going to be talking about plumbers and the local 130 and the apprenticeship program that's there as well as the electrical workers at 134. And then we're going to talk to my old friend, Mike Jakubowski. Mike Jakubowski, as you know, is one of my closest friends, and he is a teacher out at Hampshire High School, where they have an industrial arts program where they're really investing, that whole district over there is investing in kids that aren't going to necessarily go to college, and investing in teaching them industrial arts that can set them up for a manufacturing job, possibly going into the trades. It has become a very successful program. I'm super proud of Mike and his entire team over there and what they're doing and investing in these kids. So it really is something pretty special. And Lindsay, when you, I said to Lindsay, I go, reach out to Mike, find out if he can, if he'd be willing to call and talk this morning. And I sent you his text message, and you sent what did you say to him?
I said, hi, Mike, ! Hope you're doing well. Just wanted to see if you wanted to join us this Saturday to talk to Lou. I got back, okay. okay, great. Well, we're excited to hear us. Call this number at this time. Okay.
Yeah. It's a man of few words.
He's a man. That's what I said. I said, wow, you're really a man of few words. And he said, I've got Lou as my
best hopefully friend. We'll get him to talk a little more when he comes on the air this morning.
He talks enough for the both of us.
He does. So good morning, all of you. Good morning, Lindsay.
Good morning.
And nice to have you here. Good morning to Joe and Doma T. We'll be here all morning until 10 o'clock, and then the John Williams show comes your way.
Ooh, and big shout out to Misericordia and your wife for these yummy treats that we have this morning.
So one of the things, and my wife says that we're a whiner, is the new studios here are great. There's no place to get a good cup of coffee, and it's difficult because of where we're located. That it used to be you'd run across the street and get a cup of coffee. So radio station coffee is notoriously lousy, and life is too short to drink bad wine and lousy coffee. So we decided to bring our own coffee maker in there, and one of the things that my lovely Misericordia organization that I love so much does is that they package coffee for a couple of different coffee manufacturers. They have a whole section at Misericordia. If you go there, Lindsay, it's like one of those things. What was the Hanna-Barbera character that when they would smell something, he would start to float and like he'd smell food or something? It was one of those characters.
The Jetsons?
No, it wasn't the Jetsons. But I can picture it. Like he would smell something and it was like a dog.
Right,
like you're doing right now. But when you go into that floor where they package the coffee and you walk into this room, even when you get into the hallway, you're like, that smells amazing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you're a coffee drinker. So we have Misericordia Coffee now in our own coffee maker that we're making, and it's delicious. And if you want to get away from the regular, you know, hey, there's nothing wrong with Folgers. If you really want a good cup of coffee, you got to go to their gift shop and buy a package of this Misericordia coffee because it's amazing, which is what we're drinking this morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's get to your phone calls right away. This is Frank in Naperville. Frank, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. How can I help you, sir?
Lou, I moved into a house about 6 months ago. It's a house about 40 years old. And I'm looking to get the air ducts clean. And I get advertisements almost on a daily basis that shows when they clean the ducts, they show a picture of the before and a picture of the after. And the before picture shows a lot of dirt inside the ducts. And then the after picture makes it look like the air ducts were just polished so brightly they almost look like they're chrome. And I wanted to ask you, is that really realistic?
No.
Those illustrations?
It's not going to look like it's polished. It'll be cleaner. I mean, I'll tell you this. I have taken ductwork apart and seen it before and after between duct cleaning. And when they do it the right way, they use a whip and they break up the dust and then they use a vacuum cleaner. And so that buildup of dust and debris that in some cases can be a half an inch thick does get taken away, but it's not going to look polished by any stretch of the imagination. The bottom line, though, is, Frank, I'm a big proponent of duct cleaning. I think it's something that should be done every 5 to 7 years or so. And it does improve the indoor air quality inside your home. And in particular, for people who suffer from asthma or allergies, you can see a remarkable difference in the air quality in your home by doing this. But you just want to make sure that you get somebody who has a lot of experience. And no, your ductwork will not be polished, but it will definitely be cleaner. Frank, thanks so much for the phone call. You're listening to House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. Oh, by the way, this hour of House Smarts Radio, sponsored by Ace Hardware. We'll be right back.
I have a noise, loud hum in my kitchen. It's driving me insane.
What does it sound like?
It sounds like, it's a high-pitched like a hum.
Can you do it again? Wait, one more time. What does it sound like? Oh, that's better. Yeah, I think that's a B flat.
Welcome back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, 725 in the morning. This is Adele in Wheaton. Hi, Adele. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Hello, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help you?
I recently bought a house that was built in 1982. And in kind of going through things, I haven't moved in yet, discovered there's a gap between the foundation and the siding on one side of the house. And how do I seal that?
When you say there's a gap, you actually see the wood bottom plate?
I can see light. I got into the crawl space and, you know, remove some of the insulation, and I could see light from the other. So what do you do?
Well, so the way that should work right there, there should be a wood wall underneath it, and
Well, there is a wood wall, but there's a between.
There's gaps somehow, there.
There's gaps.
Right. Typically, a siding contractor will come and do, they'll take some roll flashing. It can be, what color is the siding?
Right now it's green, but I'll probably paint it.
Yeah, but I mean, what color do you think you'd paint it?
Probably some sort of tan.
Okay. Well, they could come then with just even some aluminum flashing, roll flashing, that they would tuck underneath the siding to bridge that gap between what you see, the siding, and it's called like ribbon flashing around the perimeter of it. It'll seal that all up, and then that can be painted eventually if you'd like. But
okay.
That is something that could easily be fixed. But you definitely want to handle this, Adele, because this is an invitation to rodents in the wintertime to come inside the house.
Well, it was discovered because there was evidence of rodents. I had somebody come out, and when we were looking around, he went, "Oh my goodness!" So he did put foam, but I don't. That's kind of a temporary measure.
Yeah, that's a temporary thing. I would get a siding contractor or even a handyman service out in your area that possibly could do this. One place that you could go look is the NARI website, which is NARI.org, NARI.org.
Okay.
And you could type in, you know, siding contractor or handyman or carpentry service. I know that there's a bunch of different people listed in particular out by your area. And you could have them come out, make that repair before the winter months come and seal it all up for you once and for all. Adele, thank you so much for the phone call. Quick break and we'll be right back.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call. I listen
sure.
every Saturday.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I listen to it every Saturday morning.
Well, you're my how-to man. When I have a question, I call you. You're how-to.
Don't be scared. Pick up the phone. Give Lou a call. He's live taking your questions till 10 right here on House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN.
How good is this coffee?
About as good as the song. The start of the investigation. It's against the law.
Welcome back.
It was against the law. Good cup of coffee.
Nothing like a good cup of coffee. Nothing like a cup. When you think about like the things that you cherish the most, right? Joe, like you think about, man, is that Joe? Are you a coffee drinker?
You know, I'm not.
You're not. Domiti, I know you're a coffee drinker, right?
Oh, yeah. I got
you know,
a syringe.
You get a really good cup of coffee. You're like, that is so good.
Hits the spot.
Right. Or you go to a bar and they make you a really good cocktail.
On a hot summer day.
Yeah.
And I drink my coffee black. I feel like if it's good coffee, it doesn't need any enhancements.
Yeah, no, that's true. I used to be a black coffee drinker, too. I use a little bit of cream. But, you know, or like you go to a bar, they make a really good drink for you. Or one of my favorite things is when you take the unexpected nap.
Ooh.
Isn't that the best?
Yes.
You know, you're maybe reading a magazine or you got the game on and all of a sudden you wake up 15 minutes later and you're like, oh my gosh, I just fell asleep with no thought of falling asleep.
One that you don't feel guilty about.
Right.
It's almost like the open you play. Mow your lawn, have yourself a little nap.
Just, you don't like it, have a little tea, and then take yourself a little nap. Right. Nothing wrong with that. I think this world would be a better place if we all napped a little more. That is for sure. Right?
Here.
We could all learn from that. All right. Welcome back to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we were going to be talking with a bunch of different folks, union representatives, about the apprentice programs within different trades that are out there. And this morning, we're going to be speaking with folks from the Plumbers Union, from the IBEW, which is 134, the Electricians Union. But our first conversation this morning is going to be with Vince Sticca, who is the director and coordinator for the Apprentice and Training Program over at the Chicago Regional Council of Carpenters. Vince, so nice to have you on the air once again. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you very much.
I had the pleasure of touring your facility several months ago, and to say that I was impressed would be an understatement. I got to witness firsthand the amount of training and what it is that you're doing to train different people of all ages, gender, to become carpenters. It really is quite amazing, and I know that it starts with the membership that you have and the commitment you have from your members. How many members does the Carpenters Union have in the Chicagoland area?
About 35,000, and we have over 2,000 apprentices at the Elk Grove School, and then probably another 1,000 in the area of Rockford, East Moline, and Pekin.
Let's take a couple steps back and talk about first, if you are a carpenter, a trained carpenter, what type of work is someone like that doing?
Well, it kind of depends. We have a large umbrella. You can be a general carpenter. That would be someone that works in residential framing and stairs and trim and cabinets. We have an interior systems type carpenter. That's someone that works with commercial buildings doing metal studs, drywall ceilings. We have concrete carpenters, floor covering, millwrights, which do heavy-duty machinery installation, pile drivers that put the piles up where the water meets the land.
Right.
Lathing, which is an old art of making the substructure for plaster. Concrete carpenters, as I mentioned, and also we do siding, insulation, and shingling. So you kind of pick what area you want to go into. That doesn't limit you from doing other things, but you kind of learn that trade and master that portion of the trade.
I think that one of the misconceptions when people think about getting into the union, getting into the trades, is that it's something you need to make a decision about when you're 18 years old, right? Okay, you're out of high school, maybe you're not going to go to college, or maybe you went to college for a couple years, and you got to get into the trades, and that's something you have to do when you're 18 years old, or you just can't do that anymore. I know in speaking with you all and other members of different trade unions in the city, that really is not the case whatsoever. You're seeing all different types of people coming into the union, aren't you?
Yes, we are. Our average age of people that are applying is around 26. So what we're seeing is we have actual college graduates or someone that completed 2 years of college or someone that started some type of a career and then wants to get into the trade. So I believe the average age is about 26 with all the trades.
And talk a little bit about the technology that is in this training now, because it was something that impressed me quite a bit. I mean, I am of the age where, and it isn't that you still don't use blueprints, but, you know, you had big rolls of paper blueprints that you had to keep track of and make sure you didn't spill coffee on. And that, while it still does exist, the amount of technology that's what's in the carpentry trade is just staggering.
Yes, the last 10 years, it just leaps and bounds. As you mentioned, most people are attuned to a blueprint, and that's kind of the thing of the past. There's programs out now that are for electronic blueprint reading. So we have Bluebeam, Procore, PlanGrid, and that works off of a AutoCAD program. And what happens is also the carpenters are starting to carry iPads now, so they can communicate with the superintendent. They can pass different types of plans to one floor to another. Details can make details bigger, so it's really changing. It's getting. We have that QML system that we showed you that'll lay out a commercial building in a matter of hours that took us days, and also the virtual welding, where instead of being in a welding booth, we can start out the apprentices on a virtual welder that grades them.
Talk a little bit, Vince, about the lifestyle and or, you know, the opportunity that exists to get into this union and get into this trade. You know, I think that people perhaps have some misconceptions about this, that, you know, it certainly is hard work. There's no question about it, but it's work that when you're talking about working with, union contractors, you know, safety is very important. Work quality, is very important. The quality of the work that you're doing, the quality of the buildings that are getting built. And I mean, this is really a place where you can, get trained to get into a career. This is not just a job.
Yes. You know, everybody thinks that you have to know somebody to get into the trades, and that's a falsehood. All the trades put ads in papers. They put it on their websites. We go to at least probably 10 different job fairs per week, high schools, and put out the information. Right now, we are putting out applications for concrete carpenters. So we'll be taking applications till October 18th for concrete, people interested in being in the concrete trade. But there's no science where you have to worry about, you know, something. You can get into trades quite easy.
Yeah. If you were, you know, talking to somebody that was on the fence about it and, you know, thinking about, like, what, you know, why would I want to join the Carpenters Union, Vince? I mean, you know, I don't know. I've got this part-time job. It's fine, but it's not what I want to do. I'm looking for a career. You know, why would I join the Carpenters Union?
Well, like you mentioned, and it's kind of my tagline, it's not a job, it's a career. It's something that you can be working at one company one day and the job may come to an end. You pick up your tools, you go to another company, you're making the same wages, you're making the same benefits. At the end of the day, you're proud of what you've built. You're always telling somebody that you worked at this building. You're telling your kids when you pass by that, you know, right, you worked there for a couple of years. And those buildings are going to be there for hundreds of years.
Yeah, it really is amazing. I look, you and I have met. You know that I'm a big proponent of this type of training. And this as a career, I think, is just something that for many young people that are looking to get into some lasting career that you can raise a family and be proud of what you do every day, something like joining the Carpenters Union and getting that kind of training is important. Well, finally, one other thing. If someone does join the apprentice program, how long is the training? I mean, the other thing to note is that you're getting paid while you're getting trained, but how long typically is the training?
Yes, the training is a four-year apprenticeship. And then on your fifth year, you completely do your apprenticeship out in the field. There is no cost to the training. You'll have a career. You're going to have life insurance. You're going to have medical insurance. You're going to have a pension. The carpenters also have an annuity. It's a great opportunity for a young person that wants to work with their hands.
How do they get a hold of you guys, Vince, to learn more?
They can call us at area code 847-640-7373. That's our phone. And their website is shicap.org, which is CHICAP.org.
Vince Sticca is the director coordinator of the Apprentice and Training Program at the Chicago Regional Council of Carpenters. Thank you so much, Vince, for joining us this morning. Remember, never hold a nail for someone else.
Thank you. Thank you, Lou.
Appreciate you calling. It is great. As someone that was trained as a carpenter, obviously I have an affinity towards the Carpenters Union as well. The training facility they have out in Elk Grove Village, it is like Disneyland for the trades. And I mean, the plumbers have a really amazing one, too. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But the amount of training in technology and what they were teaching and the ability to be in a classroom type setting, but actually doing the work, I never had that. And so what we're talking about this week and on this show is that you've got young people in your life that are maybe spending a little bit too much time in the basement and you need to motivate them to go do something. These jobs are out there and there is a demand, and these are well-paying, very good jobs that you can make a career out of. 40 years from now, you're going to look back and say, wow, that was one of the best decisions of my life. We're going to learn more coming up right after this. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Joel is in Oak Park. Hey, Joel, you're on WGN.
Hey, Lou, how are you, old friend?
I'm good. How can I help you?
Well, you can't help me the way you used to. No unicycle rides for me, please.
Oh, you're going way back.
Yeah, I'm going way back. Yeah. So I got an issue with my shower. I was in it taking a normal shower. My voice had really strong water pressure maybe 2-3 weeks ago. And I don't even know how. I wish we could have click and clack here to recreate the sound. it was like a metal pin dropped. And then all of a sudden, the water was coming out half as strong. but everything's fine. You know, it's not like the water handle is up all the way. The little thing you pull to get the shower to come, the water to come out of the shower was all the way up. It doesn't seem like the actual poles in the shower head are clogged or anything. Water's coming out of all of them. It's just half as strong as it used to be.
What about out of the actual spout of the? Is it a tub?
Yeah, it's a tub.
And what about the pressure coming out of the spout of the tub?
That's going to be harder for me to judge compared to how it was before.
Okay.
I didn't check right away. Here, let me go turn it on and see if I can tell anything. But like I said, it's going to be hard to tell.
Okay. And is it a single handle faucet?
It seems good. Yes. Yeah.
Single handle faucet. Yeah. All right. Well, then, I mean, the first thing that I would do is take the head off of the shower. Have you done that yet?
No. Figured I'd call you.
All right. Thank you. I would take the head off the shower and then turn that on and see if you get a really nice steady stream out of the shower arm first. And then take a look to see if, I mean, the pin dropping thing is kind of funny, but see if.
Yeah, it was like a lever.
Yeah. See if on the back of the shower head itself, there should be a little screen and a washer there that could be clogged. You could try cleaning that whole thing out. You can take the shower head itself if you like. You know, if you like that shower head, soak it in a bucket of CLR and let that sit there for maybe half an hour, and then use a brush to clean it all up. Put that back on and see if the pressure isn't any better. Then it could be a problem inside the valve itself. Now the pin dropping just seems funny to me.
Yeah.
In particular, if the spout on the water out of the spout is still good. When you lift that pin and you're in the shower, do you get a little trickle out of the spout, or does it seal it up pretty well?
Lift the pin.
You know, when you pull the arm so that the water comes out of the shower head, do you get water coming out of the spout?
No, none at all.
None at all. Okay.
Yeah. That was the first thing I checked.
Yeah. Take that head off, try that first, and then from there, if that pressure doesn't increase, then it's a valve issue, and you may have to replace the valve stem and go from there. Okay? Joel, I appreciate the phone call. It is 7:57. We'll be right back.
Get smart.
With my dad.
About your home.
Lou Manfredini.
It's House Smarts Radio with Lou Manfredini.
Welcome back. This hour of House Smarts Radio is sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems and by ChevyDrivesChicago.com. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Before we get back to your phone calls, I want to promote a little event for my friends at Misericordia that is occurring tomorrow, as a matter of fact, out at the... it is the Western DuPage Social Recreation Association Food Truck Festival. It's Sunday from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Riverwalk Grand Pavilion in Naperville. And the what many people may not know is that Misericordia now has their own food truck. And joining me on the phone line right now is Jory Meyer. Hi, Jory.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. You're on WGN.
Great.
Tell me a little bit about this this festival that's happening tomorrow.
Sure. There's a lot to say, so I'm thrilled to be talking about it. So we have 9 food trucks that will be out tomorrow at the Grand Pavilion in Naperville. This is a community event open to the public that really is our way at WDSRA to just say thank you to the community, for everyone that has supported us, for our participants, our families, the staff, the volunteers. So much fun involved with lots of good food.
So the DuPage Special Recreation Association, what is it that you folks do?
So WDSRA, our mission is the development of individuals through recreation. So we make it possible for children, teens, adults, people of every ages to grow personally, connect with the community, discover their potential, all through social and recreation programs.
The admission is $2 a person. The food trucks will be at your own expense, mm-hmm. rather. It's a wristband event, meaning I suppose you need a wristband just to kind of walk around, right?
Yeah, so we will have registration. Some people pre-registered, $2 per person, so that gets you in, which we have live music. We have a straw dog band, country-style band, that will be there performing. We also have inflatables for the kids, face painting, balloon artists. So lots of stuff going on for everybody of all ages.
And the selection of food trucks that you have tomorrow, can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So we have a little bit of everything from desserts to food. So we have Auntie V's cupcakes coming out, Cupcakes for Courage, Gnarly Knots, which is meal-stuffed Bavarian pretzels, one of my favorites.
Oh, wow.
Grumpy Gaucho Empanadas. Of course, Misericordia. I've heard that coffee is pretty tasty.
The coffee's amazing.
So we're thrilled to have them out.
Yeah.
Perk and Pickle. They have burger and brisket, loaded fries, chicken sandwiches, of course, fried pickles. Roaming Hog, which is another popular one. Taco Grill, and then the famous Toasty Cheese will be out there for their cheesy goodness.
Well, I'll tell you the one thing you're going to get out of Misericordia's truck out there is that it always brings the good weather. So I think that will definitely be a good thing, and it'll make sure that the weather holds out for you so you can have a great event. And I know that they'll be selling a lot of their baked goods out of that truck that they have, which
Correct.
Is... terrific. And so I'm excited about this. This is fun. I know that this whole trend in food trucks, it's a great entrepreneurial endeavor for a lot of people, and you can get some really tasty food that is unique, and you know, for most people it's a labor of love. And so good luck. I really
Absolutely.
Hope it all goes well. The Food Truck Festival, Sunday, September 30th, from 3 to 6 p.m., and it's at the Riverwalk Grand Pavilion, which is at 912 Sint Court in Naperville.
You got it. Thanks so much.
You got it, Jory. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Sounds like a really fun event. This is Linda in Chicago.
Yummy.
Hi, and yummy, too. Linda, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call.
How can I help you?
I was at my daughter's last week or so, and I noticed that the pilot light on her gas fireplace is always on. And I could feel warmth from that. And I was just thinking, that must be adding on to her gas bill. Is there anything that can be done that during summer months it could be turned off?
Sure. It absolutely can. Does she use this fireplace in the winter months?
Yes, she does.
Right. Now, depending on how the system works, the fireplace that she has, is it sealed, or can you see the log kit in front of you?
Well,
in other words, there's not a piece of glass that covers it, is there?
No.
There's not. Okay. Where that pilot light is, there should be a knob near there that allows you to turn the pilot light on or even to ignite the pilot light. If she turns that to the off position, the pilot light will be off.
And that's something she could do. She does not need to call a gas company.
It is like turning the faucet off in your bathroom.
Wonderful. I do have another question.
Sure.
At her condo, you can hear in the master bathroom, the toilet, seem like it flushes itself every few minutes or so, maybe 5 minutes or less. What is that about, and can that be helped?
It could be a couple of things. It could be a flapper valve that needs to be replaced. That's the little valve that's connected to the chain that she could absolutely do herself. It could be, if you're hearing water running, it could be the fact that the water level in the tank is too high that's coming over the top of the overflow, and that, too, can be adjusted. So both of those things are pretty easy to repair if you want to try it yourself. A flapper valve that you need to replace, which there you could take a picture of it and go to the hardware store and say, I need one that looks like that. And the adjustment of the water, there's usually a screw that adjusts the float, and you want the float to go closer to the bottom of the tank so that that overflow tube that you have, the water should be about a half of an inch below the overflow. And if you try those two things, you should be able to solve that problem, Linda. Appreciate the phone call. It is 8:17 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Now back to your host, your go-to handyman, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
trumpet thinker.
Welcome back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Patty in Lake County. Hi, Patty. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi. Listen, this is the third time my furnace has gone on, and I don't know if it'll last longer than 2 minutes. At 6:15 this morning, the temperature was 62 in here, and it goes on. It went on about 6:16 for 2 minutes, and it seems to get cold, not immediately. And then it went on again at 7:20, and I timed it 2 minutes, then it goes off. Now we'll see if it stays on longer this time. And I'm feeling heat now. Now the heat is coming better than it did the last two times.
How old is this furnace, Patty?
Installed February of 2014.
Okay.
How can you tell if your heat exchanger is going?
Well, I doubt it's that. When's the last time you had it serviced?
Last year I had it cleaned. And could that be it again?
Well,
maybe?
No. I mean, it sounds to me that it could be something, it's called a limit switch. The one limit. Thing, a limit switch inside there, but it, if you only had this installed in 2014, I would imagine most of this is still under warranty. So I would call the contractor out there to come out and do a service call on it. The one thing I will tell you is that with this weather, this first cold snap of weather, furnaces will act a little funny because, you know, the house is still warm, even though the temperature's coming down a little bit. And so the furnaces tend to cycle a little bit more often on and off because the thermostats are so sensitive now. And until we get into the full-on heating season, you may see a little bit more cycling. But the fact that you're telling me it only cycles for like 2 minutes and then shuts off, or you're not even feeling any heat coming out of anything, it sounds to me like there's some kind of electronics issue. More than likely, it's covered under your warranty, and I would have them come back and take a look.
Electronics issue. But see, I adjust. This is a small house. So I have about 1,000 square feet, so it's a small furnace. It's a Lennox, and
sure, that's fine.
You know, it's
not full
efficiency. And I adjust the thermostat myself. I put it at 68 or 69 when I go to bed, and sometimes that's how it was all day yesterday.
Right.
But
is it an electronic thermostat?
I push the thing.
No, I understand, but in other words, it's a digital thermostat, correct?
Yeah.
Right, so my point is, those thermostats are sensitive to 1 degree, okay?
Oh,
meaning that if you set it to 68...
Now it just went off.
when you say off, meaning that it's blowing or it's
no,
stopped?
No, the whole furnace just cut out now. So it went on for 4 to 5 minutes. It went on at 7:20, and it just went off. I mean 8:20, and now it just went off at 8:25 by my clock.
But as you mentioned, you live in a smaller home.
Yeah, but it didn't heat the whole thing. Usually, when it goes on, you know, during the winter, it might stay on 10 or 15 minutes.
Right, but remember what the temperature is outside, okay? In other words, the sun is coming up. You live in a smaller home. The temperature is probably
33 out here.
But is it sunny?
Well, a little.
Right, and you have windows in your home. I mean, all of that helps to heat your home as well. My point is, if you live in a smaller home, and the system, because the thermostat is sensitive to 1 degree, it may only cycle that much, but if you're not getting heat, in other words, if it turns on and there's no heat coming out of those vents, then there's something that has to be looked at. The fact is that we should have these things serviced once a year. If you're concerned about it not operating properly, there may be some electronics issue that has to be looked at.
Okay.
All right, and I said that might be covered under your warranty.
Well, I got everything out while I was waiting to talk to you, and I know the heat exchanger is. I don't know about everything else. But you say a limit switch. What does that do?
That is something that that governs how long the system runs when it cycles. And so that quick cycling that you're talking about, you sometimes means that there's a limit switch that has a problem with it. But based on the more information you're giving me about the size of your home, the temperature that it's set at, it might just have to do with the size of your home, Patty, that it's just cycling quicker, and we're not into that full-on heating season, as I mentioned. And so the units will cycle a little bit more because the ambient temperature outside is not that cold. Even though it's only 40 degrees, as you mentioned, when on a sunny day like that, you still get a lot of heat gain. The soil temperature is warmer. All of that stuff works towards starts towards the how the system works while we're getting into that change of temperature in our home. Thanks so much for the phone call. I appreciate it.
Most people love the weekends. A little R&R, time with the family, maybe some celebrating. Unless you have a to-do list around the house a mile long. How do I find...
When do I need to...
I don't know what to do.
Hey, you only know what you know. And what you don't know, maybe Lou does.
I'm not that smart, but I'm no dummy.
Give him a call with any of your home improvement questions. Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
I'm only one call away.
At 312-981-7200.
Save the day.
Welcome back. House Smarts Radio. If I didn't say this, I think your news, Domati, was sponsored by your friends at It's Just Lunch. But I think it did. Okay. This show, this Saturday, we're talking a little bit about some opportunities that are out there for those that perhaps want to get into the trades. Earlier this morning, I spoke with Vince Sticca with the Chicago Carpenters Union. Joining me on the phone line right now is Craig Thomas. He's the president and owner of Warren F. Thomas Plumbing Company in Westmont. Also serves on the Plumbers Local 130 Joint Apprenticeship Committee. For 25 years, as a contractor trustee and co-chairman of the Training Fund. Craig, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Lou.
I had the pleasure recently of touring the brand new facility that the Plumbers Union just completed, I believe, on West Washington. Is that right?
That's correct. It's a 50,000 square foot facility that provides all types of training from hands-on to book. It's the state-of-the-art facility, second to none.
Well, and I think that the way you always tell if a facility's good is when you get to come in the back door. And the reason when I was there, they were actually filming some episode of Chicago Med in the parking lot or something that they were using your location. They're like, no, we want you to come around the back door. And when I came around the back door, for me, it was one of the best things to first see when I come in there. Inside the building, you built a building where half of it is a residential building and the other half is a commercial building to give these apprentices literally the hands-on training of what it would be like working on a job site.
That's correct, Lou. The best form of training is using your hands. You are going to be doing this day in and day out. And you do have to have knowledge of what goes into piping those systems. But so much of our work is done hands-on, and you're correct. We work in commercial and residential applications. There is also a pit there that does underground work. I don't know if you saw that there.
I did.
So they can learn how to dig in that house. They can learn how to rod sewers, pipe different applications and fixtures. So they get a very well-rounded education when they lead the apprentice program.
How many members are there in the Plumbers Union in the Chicagoland area?
I don't know exactly, but around 6,000 members.
Wow. And like the Carpenters Union or the Electrical Union, the Plumbers Union, these are careers where the training is provided by the union. This is a multi-year training program that leads to a lasting career in the trades.
Correct. We have a 5-year program, Lou, and the first 3 years you go to school 1 day a week, of which your wages are paid by your contractor, and then you work the other 4 days. And then in your fourth and fifth year, you go to work 5 days a week, and then 22 nights throughout the year, you go to night school to enhance your education and prepare you for the state of Illinois or city of Chicago plumbing license exam.
I think that a lot of people think about, the plumbing trade and like, oh, that's dirty work, man. There's a lot of, it's a dirty job, and there may be some aspects of it, but there is a lot of high-tech technology that's in this trade right now that probably people don't recognize.
That's correct. We just don't ride sewers. The piping that goes in your home, your office, all these high-rise commercial buildings, that's done by plumbers. And yes, we have service technicians, and they have to solve problems. They rod sewers, and they take care of a lot of the problems after the buildings are completed. But in our business, we have electronic faucets. We have water heaters that are mostly electronic now. There's all types of pressure-reducing valves, thermostat mixing valves that are digital and have electrical. You have to have some electrical knowledge to be able to do that.
Right. And all of that comes into play into the overall training of this. I mentioned when I was talking to Vince Sticker from the Carpenters Union that, this isn't necessarily something that just you have to come into as an 18-year-old kid. I'm sure that you have people applying for the positions to come into the apprenticeship program of all different ages, right?
That is correct, yes. The youngest, you have to be 18 to enter the program. You do have to have a high school education or a GED certificate. And there's numerous other items that are required to enter the program, all of which is on our website. And that website is www.jac130.org/applications. We have on that website, it will tell you all of our requirements to apply for the program. Our sign-up is from January 22nd through February 21st. And those are on 3 days a week, on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays between 1 and 4. And also Thursday evening from 6 to 8.
And Craig, the fact of the matter is, there is a demand for good people to come into these programs, correct?
Yes. The last 2 years, we've taken just a little over 140 apprentices each year. We currently have 712 apprentices in our 5-year program, and we're looking to ramp that up to 1,000 people over the next 3 years during the 5-year period.
Right. And I mean, when you look around the city and the suburbs and you see the construction that's going on, and even highway construction has plumbers involved in that as well. I mean, the demand is there. The training is there with the Plumbers Union, and this is a field that, there are technical aspects of a plumbing system, how it all works, and understanding how it goes. It needs people that are smart, that have common sense, and want to work hard, and really want to get into a career that can last their entire adult life.
Well, most definitely. It's not uncommon for us to have people who have been in the business 40 to 50 years.
Right.
It is a very good paying job with excellent benefits, second to none. At the end of the day, you can see what you have produced.
Right.
That piping is in the wall. You're not pushing paper. You are actually producing something that is sustainable.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember years ago we did a big job with one of the 130's members, Ravinia Plumbing up in the North Shore, And that plumber got done doing some piping in a wall, and the customer was so impressed by the copper piping that the guy did. He's like, could we put, like, a piece of glass in here so I could look at the plumbing? And I was like, wow, that's impressive. Most people wouldn't do something like that, but it was a really good job. And that's the thing. There's technique, there's craftsmanship, there's pride in the work that they do every single day. And I can't say enough about any of these training programs. Plumbers Local 130. One more time, Craig, for that website if people are interested in learning more about your apprenticeship program.
Sure, Lou. It's www.jac130.org/application.
Craig Thomas is the president and owner of Warren F. Thomas Plumbing Company in Westmont, and also is part of the apprenticeship committee and has been for the last 25 years. Craig, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Have a great weekend, and good luck with getting a bunch of new apprentices in the coming year.
Well, thank you very much, Lou. We appreciate you promoting our program.
Absolutely. It's absolutely my pleasure. Thank you. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll take a quick call, and then we'll get to your call, Shelley, coming up right after this. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Shelley is in Oak Park. Shelley, thank you so much for hanging on. We're going to send you out a certificate from Executive Green Carpet Cleaning to clean three rooms in your home.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and you can visit executivegreencarpetcleaning.com. How can I help you this morning?
Thanks. Yes, I live in Oak Park, and I have a parkway sewer access, that big round metal thing surrounded by cement.
Okay.
And we were told there's a problem. It's broken. So my husband got an estimate of $4,000 to fix and replace. I don't know whether that's a good price or a terrible price, and I'd like a referral to somebody that you... So I just want a second opinion.
Wait. So it's just the... it's not the sewer that's broken. It's cap?
No, it's not the cap. It's inside. It's down in the ground. They said it's broken. I don't know. I mean...
Who's they?
Well, whoever, two plumbers. A plumber, and then he referred us, a plumber we like, but he doesn't do that work, and then he referred us to somebody else.
Okay, but what is the problem that you're having?
I guess they said it's broken inside.
Right,
I don't know.
Is anything leaking? Are you getting any kind of backup?
Not now.
What prompted this person to tell you that this was broken?
What prompted us to go to the guy for the sewer problem? What was the problem that we called them about initially?
The land is sinking.
Oh, the land is sinking around it.
Oh, okay.
The wall is broken.
Okay, the wall is broken.
Okay.
Got it.
All right, so, okay, why don't we do this?
Okay.
You have a pen or a pencil?
Yeah.
Call PermaSeal. They offer plumbing services.
Okay.
800-421-SEAL, S-E-A-L. And they'll send someone out, take a look at it, and they can give you an estimate and find out what's going on.
Right. If I have a second estimate for $4,000, then I'll feel better.
Well, right.
Okay.
I mean, if this wall of this surround is collapsed, then that's a problem. The other place you can call is plumbers911.com.
Okay. I think I'll call PermaSeal.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, I use the Wet and Forget for showers. It's wonderful.
Isn't that great?
I got it because you talked about it.
I wonder if you sprayed it on the ground if that would come back up.
Maybe not.
Thank you for hanging on, Shelley. You're very kind. Thanks. I appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200. And let's talk with John in Mundelein. Hey, John, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. How can I help you?
I think a month or so ago, you mentioned a system for holding the patio bricks in place. And the inquiry was whether it would hold up in this weather. And I just wanted to know a little bit what the name of that system was.
Patio bricks to hold them in place. What is the problem you're having?
Well, I don't have a problem. I'm going to be replacing the patio. And this was to... It was a kind of a system of which would reduce the amount of sand you had to put in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. It's a It is a system where you put a pad down.
That's right.
Over the sand, and then you put the tie, you put the stone over that. Why? I can picture it. I can't think of the name of it right now. Patio. John, let me noodle this. Keep listening, and I'll come up with the name.
Okay. The question I have is, you were concerned that the change in temperature, right?
Yeah, I have not used it. I discovered it. I think someone sent me the information. Lindsay may have sent me this information. It's a paver patio system where you put this pad underneath it, and it's supposed to reduce the amount of sand that you need, the installation time, the prep time, and it looked really neat, but I was concerned about our weather. It was an email maybe Lindsay sent me. Let me try and dig it up, and I'll give the information out, okay?
Okay, and my concern, the reason I'm interested is, I wonder if it would be if it work in Arizona.
Oh, it definitely, everything works in Arizona. I mean, that's the thing, where most of these products, when they come out and test, right, PermaSeal doesn't have a lot of business in Arizona, right? But there, we don't get that freeze-thaw, even though it gets cold at night because it's the desert. It's not like anything that we go through. And so something like that, you're not going to get the kind of shift in the soil that you would get here. That's my biggest issue with something like this. Although when I did a little bit of a research and looked at where they were putting this stuff out, it was really pretty impressive. But let me keep listening and let me come up with what it is, and I'll try and remember, and I'll give it out on the air, okay?
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Give me 10 minutes or so, and then I'll come up with it. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. We'll be right back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Ron in Rockford. Ron, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou.
What's going on?
A few weeks ago, we left for a four-day weekend. I turned off my water, so I wouldn't have any problems with the water. So, and we came home on Sunday, and our dishwasher was full of water, and it overflowed onto the floor. And I went into the laundry room, and the laundry room wash machine was full of water, and it went onto the floor and ruined my hardwood flooring.
Mm.
We've had several plumbers out. We've had the city inspector out. Nobody can figure out how those two systems backed up with water into our house. With the water turned off, I had no other place, no toilets, no sinks that had any water come up, but just those two areas.
Hmm.
And I haven't found anybody who can have any explanation of what happened. We bailed a couple buckets of water out of our front
All right,
load,
take me through water. This again. You came home, and the dishwasher had water in it.
Yes.
And the water, it appears that the water damage all came from the dishwasher.
The dishwasher and the wash machine, two different rooms.
Oh, wow. And where's the washing machine in relationship to the dishwasher? In the basement?
No, they're both on the first floor of the house. The water did leak through the floor down into the basement, but there was no sign of any water in the basement except under those two appliances.
That really is strange why it would come through both of those appliances like that, and you're seeing that through. And now, since then, there's no other water whatsoever.
No. We did have a 3-plus-inch rainfall on Saturday night. I don't know if that had anything to do with it or not, but
how would that get into your the rainwater doesn't have anything to do with getting into those appliances. That's an interesting one. I'm just trying to noodle that one. Think about what it could possibly be if there was some surge and there's a but the valve. I mean. Look, your water pressure works at 40-some-odd pounds, 45 pounds. The solenoid valve on the dishwasher, those could go, and that could cause that to fill up. But then why would the washing machine do the same thing? That doesn't make a lot of sense. Unless, is the... Well, you said it's on the same level. Let me ask you this. As far as you know, no neighbors experienced anything like this as well?
No. We checked with neighbors.
Hmm. No one was in your home. There was no entry into your home or anything. No one came in to check anything or turn anything on. You didn't put a delay on by mistake when you left, when you went out of town on the dishwasher.
No.
Is there a chance your house is haunted?
That's what we're beginning to think. We have so many people, and everybody's coming up with the same answer you have.
Yeah, right. That is a strange one, Ron. I'm gonna keep thinking about this one, and if I come up with something, I will convey it. But that is, I mean, I'm sorry about the damage. It doesn't make any sense to me why those two fixtures alone would be the ones that would cause that water damage. It just doesn't make sense. I got to keep thinking about that. Thank you so much for the phone call. I appreciate it.
It's electric.
Lindsay, could I get another cup of this delicious Misericordia coffee on National Coffee Day?
Crack yourself up.
Lindsay off the air was telling me, we're going to talk with the guys from the electrical union, and they've never been on before. So, you know, make sure that you make them feel welcome. So, of course, the way I make them feel welcome is with the electric slide. Everyone's doing the line. Come on.
That's right.
If you're watching on the feed, you can see I'm doing the electric slide. Here it comes.
I feel so
really good radio.
For your children in the
union. It's electric. Oh, look at that. The guy from the union just hung up. This hour of House Smarts Radio. Sponsored by Ace Hardware and Vox Home Center. I think it's the last time they're going to be on the show as well. Joining me on the phone line right now is Maurice King, Vice President of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers 134 and the Director of Community Relations with the Apprenticeship Program. And what a lot of people don't know is that when you walk into the 134 Training Center, that's the song that plays constantly. Is that right, Maurice?
That's true.
Thank you for joining us this morning and talking a little bit about the opportunities that exist to become an apprentice with 134. I have spent a long, long time working alongside members of your union with different union contractors as our electricians in homes that we built and renovated. And I can't tell you enough about how the quality of the workmanship and the training that these guys get, because this is a highly technical field where you really have to have an understanding of how it all works. And I know that the 134 does a very good job of training these folks.
That's true.
Tell me a little bit about the program.
Okay, well, it's two different programs under our umbrella. First is called the Electrical Construction Program. That's mainly on lighting, power distribution, solar energy. It takes 5 years to become A-cards journeyman. The other program is called communications. That's low voltage. That's audio, video, security systems, alarm systems, fire alarm systems. It takes 4 years to become a communications journeyman.
Okay.
It's part of the class, also part on the job training also. So with us, no experience is needed. We'll train you as if you know nothing. No tuition. We'll give you a job with a contractor. And we pay a decent wage.
Well, not only a decent wage, but it's the training is setting yourself up, like we mentioned with the gentleman from the plumbers union and even the carpers union, about a really good salary, about a job that you can raise a family with and be proud of, and be able to do a whole bunch of other things in your life, because you're in a career.
Exactly. I've been in it for quite some time, and you say it's a career. The benefits are absolutely unbelievable, right? But if you put your time in this business, you can retire with some dignity. That's what it's all about, you know? Going to work, making it happen. We're looking for people who are energetic, have a no-nonsense attitude, kind of a take-charge individual. That's what we're looking for.
One of the things I failed to mention when I was talking with the folks from the Plumbers Union and the Carpenters Union, and I know this is true for them as well as you, this is not just a male apprenticeship program. This is, you're open to anyone to come in. I know that you've got a lot of female members within the unions as well.
Oh, yeah. You know, Chicago Women in Trades, I'm the first and only male board member on board. And I can say that Seawood, for sure, Seawood probably trains half of our females. They do a great job over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so we're looking for everybody.
Now, I mean, being an electrician, obviously you're doing a lot of running circuits, a lot of wires. There is some physical demands to this job as well, because some of the work can be pretty demanding if you're doing high-rise work or, you know, laying pipes down in concrete decks and stuff. It's a little bit tricky, but there really is the variety of work that exists within your trade is really something else.
Yeah, you know, every morning at the school, we do PT, physical training. So for the first half hour, we go out there, we do our push-ups, our jumping jacks, our mountain climbers and stuff like that to make sure that we're in shape. So we said, you cannot be in this business for a long period of time if you're in poor health, you know?
Right. I mean, that's important, too. I mean, it's I have a very dear friend of mine. Actually, it's my wife's cousin who is a foreman with he's a 134 foreman. And, okay. You know, he's getting a little bit older, like we all are right now. And yeah. He's doing yoga now before he goes to the job site. And he goes, well, but it completely helps him. And he says, you know, that type of being ready to do this kind of physical work, and he has had an amazing career within the union, and he's a, you know, super talented electrician and knows his stuff, and it's, you know, it's impressive when you get people over, no matter what the trade is, when you're around these skilled people to see, oh yeah, we're going to do this, and it's this and this and that, which the average person would look at it and just be completely clueless as what would go on. It's really something else to see the kind of train. Now, where is your training facility, and take us through kind of what that would be like?
Okay, well, our facility is in Altus, Illinois, and registration, for instance, every Wednesday. So a person will come in every Wednesday with a valid driver's license, a social security card. He has to pay $25. That can be in cash or money order. Also, high school grad will have a GED, but you have to have at least 1 year of algebra for the past grade of a year, better, which is why we ask for high school transcripts. Also, they have to prove they can work in this country legally, so they have to give us a copy of the U.S. birth certificate or U.S. passport or a permanent residence card, and that's all it takes to get started.
Wow, that's great. And there is a demand, right?
Oh, yeah. There's so much of a demand. We test 4 times a year, every January, every April, every July, and every October.
That's great. What about a website and a phone number where people can contact you guys for more information?
The website is ejat.com. It's ejat.com. And our phone number is 708-389-1340.
Maurice King is the Vice President of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers 134 and Director of Community Relations for the Apprenticeship Program. If you're interested in all in becoming an apprentice with the Electrical Union, you can contact them at their phone number or at their website. We'll also post all this information up on our website as well as our Facebook page as well. All the different interviews we did today on behalf of the Electrical Workers, Plumbing Union, as well as the Carpenters Union. Maurice, I really appreciate you joining us this morning and talking a little bit about the opportunities that exist for people to join your apprenticeship program.
Thank you so much.
And let me take you out with your official music. I mean, no other union has that music, right? I mean, right? I guess we could have done If I Have a Hammer for the Carpenters Union, right? I crack myself up. It's 9:20 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Just a minute. I have to tell you, I went to Menards.
Yeah.
And I got a hold of a guy in the paint section. And he said, oh, I listen to Lou Manfredini all the time. And don't get anything else because you won't be satisfied because Lou told you so.
Some nights I stay up cashing in my bad luck.
Welcome back.
Some nights I call it a talk.
House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN.
Some nights I wish that my lips could build a castle.
You were talking with that gentleman about that paver thing. I found it. It's called Brock Paver Base. B-R-O-C-K Paver Base. And it is a pad that you put underneath sand. And you use a heck of a lot less sand. It looks like a really cool system. Again, I've never used it. But I think it's got Arizona written all over it. Brock paverbase.com is the website. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Uh-oh. I just lost Carol. Carol, call back. I'm sorry. Mary's in Mount Prospect. Mary, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Lou. I have my home was built in 1967, and I have a brick fireplace. And when I had a chimney sweep out to clean it, he said that I needed a chimney liner, and so and also that my chimney was not high enough above the roof. And so I'm wondering if you could recommend a company, what type of liner would I need? How about the brickwork above the roof? What do things like this cost also?
Oh, it's going to cost you a fortune.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, okay.
I got a little weird. Hold on a second. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to put you on hold, and then I'm going to put you back on again. Are you there, Mary?
Yes.
Oh, I got a little echo there. Mary, Lindemann Chimney Company.
Okay.
CleanMyFireplace.com.
Okay.
All right. And then you call them.
Okay.
Have them come out and give you an estimate. They can talk to you about the tuck pointing. They can talk to you about the chimney liner, the whole nine yards. They are the best in the business.
Oh, okay, good. Where are they located?
They're located in Lake Bluff.
Oh, okay.
But they work all over the place.
Oh, okay, good.
Okay.
All right, that sounds great.
Now, I mean, you know, if you need a chimney liner, I'm going to throw a number, say it's $1,000.
Oh, okay.
If we have to rebuild the brick, it could be thousands of dollars.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
But this is the kind of stuff that if you don't do it the right way, it's only going to cost you more money down the line.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's clean. What did I say? Clean my fireplace?
Yeah. CleanMyFireplace.com.
No, CleanFireplace.com.
Okay. CleanFireplace.com.
All right, you give them a buzz, and they should be able to help you out. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Jenny in Northbrook. Jenny, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I so enjoy your program.
Oh, that's so nice of you. I so enjoy that you called. How can I help you?
Thank you. I have some questions regarding exterior painting. Is there a standard or a recommendation for a time frame for exterior painting in this area and this climate?
The kind of rule of thumb is that we don't want it to freeze overnight. Right? So if we're going to do any kind of painting during the day...
excuse me. I don't mean that. I mean your interval between paintings.
Oh, you mean how often?
Yes.
Oh, I mean it's really dependent on the surface and how it looks. It isn't the type of thing that, you know, there are some paint jobs where it looks great for 20 years, you know, depending on the side of the, you know, the exposure of the home. And
well, that was going to be another question. Is it reasonable to consider painting southern exposures more frequently than the other three sides?
As a rule, probably, but again, it all depends on visually how it looks. In other words, if you look at the southern or western exposure of your home, which probably gets the most weather, you know, it's the sun and the UV rays are really what beats up a paint finish. Take a look at it. If you notice that that is, you know, a little bit more weathered, you could see some peeling or some cracking. But there's no rule of thumb to say, hey, I have to paint every 3 years, because it really depends on how the finish holds up.
Excuse me again.
It's okay. No. It's fine.
I live in a grouping of townhouses. There are 14 buildings here of various sizes, units, and the buildings are brick, and this is just involves the trim.
It doesn't really matter. It is from a preventative maintenance standpoint, if that's kind of what you're looking at, like how often should we be doing this?
Exactly.
It would be based on the performance of the finish that you have. So in a grouping like that, Certainly, if you have a couple of buildings that are showing some wear and tear and you're going to have a painting contractor come out to do the work, Jenny, then it may make sense to have them go ahead and paint all the other stuff with the right prep work, because then you have it covered. But again, you know, there's no timeline other than, in my opinion, other than how it looks. And for some, it could be every 3 years, and some it could be every 10 years. Again, depending on how that finish holds up, the material that's underneath it, and visually how it looks to you on the exterior side. Appreciate the phone call. It's 9:31 in the morning. Do you have a concrete driveway, a sidewalk, maybe concrete pavers or a concrete block wall you'd like to protect from freeze, thaw, and salt damage this winter? Well, then Bone Dry Products is for you. It can help. Bone Dry Products are the leading penetrating concrete sealers on the market. They're amazing. And their knowledgeable staff is available to answer any questions you may have regarding the preservation of your concrete. Don't allow the concrete to deteriorate this winter because of freezing weather. Call Bone Dry Products today. It'll actually make it easier to shovel, too. 262-694-9748. 262-694-9748. Or go online at bonedryproducts.com. After the news, we're going to talk to the world-famous Mike Jakubowski. I'm going to see if I can get more than a couple of words out of him. But specifically, we were talking this morning about all these different apprenticeship programs that exist for people within three of the unions. And there are more unions that have apprenticeship programs in the Chicagoland area. But today we feature, as part of sponsored conversations with these three unions, the Plumbers Union, the Electrical Union, the Carpenters Union. But what about what your kids are learning now? And what about your kids that maybe are just saying, I just don't want to go to college? Look, I am a proponent of education. And there's I'm always going to tell you that the more education is better, because I think that peace and prosperity lies in an educated society. But that doesn't mean that the education has to be college. How are we training people? Well, my dear friend, who I am super proud of every single day just because he's my friend, has been teaching at Hampshire High School as an industrial arts teacher for the past 15, he's in his 15th year now. And he, along with his colleagues and the administration out there at that school, have developed an amazing program. And I want him to tell you about what they're doing and some of the success stories that his children within that school have gone on to do.
You can't touch this.
I've got a white Corian sink, but there's that great spidering.
You can't touch this.
A couple chipmunks get in my garage. I think they died.
The tenant allowed the dog to urinate on the wooden floor.
Break it down!
Oh, nice. Did you put that in the lease? Feel free to let the dog urinate inside the apartment.
Now back to Lou Manfredini.
Good morning, everybody. Enjoy the cornflakes.
And House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
Stop. Hammer time!
I'm moving back and forth. Hammer time. Surprised he requested this. I was going to give him the rejoin of his goddaughter, but I guess he would rather have Hammer Time. What's the guy's name? Pete? No. Who's this? Who's Hammer Time? MC Hammer? Here's the original MC Hammer, Mike Jakubowski, joining me on the phone line. Hello, Mike.
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Have we ever actually talked on the radio? We have, like, once or twice, right?
Yeah.
In 25 years?
A few years back, yeah. Yeah, we came down to the studio. And
I don't like to actually. The problem is that you were always a better carpenter than me, and I don't want to really give you too much time, because then they'll realize they'll come replace me and get you for a lot cheaper.
Yeah, but you're a much better talker than I am.
Oh, I am. I can talk better than you. That's true. But hopefully you heard a little bit about the show this morning, and we were talking.
I've been listening all morning. Yeah.
Thank you. We were talking about these trades, and you and I have obviously had many, many conversations over the years. I mean, full disclosure, I've known this man since we were 17 years old, and we've been through, we were business partners together, we're the best of friends, you're the godfather to my children, and uncle to all of them, but you had a career change 15 years ago where you entered into a teaching and have been, right, into your 15th year at Hampshire High School, is that correct?
Correct, yeah. Yep.
And your industrial arts program, when you started there, was sort of in its infancy, and now it has grown so successful based on your efforts, your colleagues that work with you, the administration. What, a couple weeks ago, Senator Durbin visited your school.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yes, that was fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's starting to get this recognition, and as you and I both know, this sort of shift is coming about where I think parents, more than anything, are starting to say, well, my kid's not going to go to college, or he doesn't want to be a lawyer, or she doesn't want to go into medicine. And what are some of the other opportunities that we can, at the high school level, teach their kids? And that's what you guys are doing.
We do, and you're right. The parents are the toughest sell. You know, there's a stigma that comes along with, you know, taking a shop class, as it were, and it's really not that way anymore. You know, it's not like climbing into a coal mine. We've taken kids on tours of manufacturing facilities where we have to wear hairnets and booties, and these are clean manufacturing facilities, and it's just not the same anymore.
Talk a little bit to the listeners about the types of training and the types of things that you're exposing them to in your program at Hampshire High School.
Well, we have five areas, CAD, with computer-aided design, which then gets into some 3D printing, which is very popular these days. We have an automotive program, which leads them right into ASC certification, working for Ford, Chevy, whoever. We have woodworking. It's typically a cabinet-making, furniture and cabinet-making program. And we have toured the facility in Elk Grove Village for the Carpenters Union,
mm-hmm.
So we can lead into our kids into that. We have a manufacturing program that just started a few years ago. There are work-study programs with that, apprenticeship programs in tool and die and mold making, a lot of on-the-job training in those areas with national certifications coming out of high school. And then our welding program just last year became accredited with the American Welding Society as a facility to certify high school students in the welding field. It's only one of three in the nation, which is, I think, what brought Senator Durbin out. But we have those opportunities for these kids to leave high school and go into a career or go into some more job training, whether right. it's the union or with a particular company itself.
Right.
And a lot of them are offering to pay for education afterwards.
Right. I mean, I think that's really the success story in all this, right? You're exposing these young people to these other opportunities to say, I mean, I've been to your school, I've been to your shop. We shot some episodes, some segments with House Smarts there, and you know, you have some of these robotic machines that are, you know, very expensive pieces of equipment that these kids are being trained on, and some of them are coming out of high school and going to work in these manufacturing fields with high paying jobs because of the training they received in high school.
Absolutely. And high tech is just part of the change in what's happening in at least the areas that we have. Everything we do, every department needs, you have to be able to function on a computer. There are computer-operated machinery in the manufacturing lab, the woodworking lab, the welding lab, and then diagnostic equipment in the auto shop is just, like, I don't even know what, I can't even explain it. I don't understand. That's not my thing, but it's just super high. You know, you can't work on a car with only wrenches anymore. It has to be a wrench and a laptop. That's just the way it is. So
here you guys are out there in Hampshire High School, right? In the, you know, western part of the state, you know, halfway to Rockford, if not closer.
Almost Iowa.
When you talk to other teachers like yourself and other programs, are you seeing more schools kind of come into the fold here? Like, do you have people coming to your school to say to you and your colleagues and the administration, what are you guys doing here? How is it that you did this and we want to do it too?
We do, and we have had people come and visit our facility. Our building's only 11 years old, so it's pretty new, very state-of-the-art, but I think it's a growing phenomena in high schools. I'm part of a couple of different groups. The other teachers that are in my department are part of other educational groups in their area. And a lot of the high schools in at least Chicagoland area are going that direction. They're bringing back what was gotten rid of in the past is coming back because not everybody needs to go to college. Not everybody wants to go to college.
Right.
And these facilities that were empty or dead are now being revitalized and bringing this stuff back. So.
One of the things you told me when we talked once is the fact that you did you have like an open house, right, where you kids are getting ready to come to school and the parents come in, and when you get a chance to talk to them about the things that you're doing within this industrial arts program, they're literally overwhelmed and can't believe what's going on.
You know, most of the parents want to come back to school or ask if we have night programs.
Right.
We just didn't have that when you and I were in high school. No. There was a traditional wood shop and auto shop, but the high-tech stuff that we have is just, it's really pretty cool stuff to work with. The kids grasp it pretty readily because most of my kids, well, actually all of my students now, don't know life without a computer. So
right.
To them, it's not that scary. To me, it's still scary because I'm an old man. But, you know, they warm up to it pretty easily. So,
right.
Yeah, some great stuff. And in our department, you mentioned I was there for 15 years. When I started, I was the department.
Right.
That was it. We have now five teachers. And that's been happening over and over across the at least Chicagoland area. And the hard part for us now is finding qualified teachers. Not everybody can teach,
right?
You know, woods, auto
right.
shop, and welding
right.
all in one thing. So
right.
I might be calling you.
Right. Well, I'm getting close, so maybe I will. Here's the thing. If you're an administrator and you're in a school and you're listening to this and you're thinking about what is it that we can offer to our kids to give them more opportunities to succeed, I could not emphasize more my willingness to have you contact either Mike or the administration over there at Hampshire High School that runs that district over there, and go out and see this and see if it's worth it for you. I realize that, you know, you got to live in that area to go to that school. It's a public high school, but I know you know how proud I am of you as a person, but also what you're doing in this career and how you're helping these young people. I think it's just fantastic. So.
Well. Thank you. And absolutely, if someone, you can look me up under d300.org if you want to come and see the facility, if you want to talk to our administration, they're hugely supportive of this program. Come out and see what we have. Send your principal or your superintendent to me. I mean, whatever we can do to help, you know, I'd be happy to.
You want to say hi to your wife before I let you go?
Hi, honey.
Attaboy. All right. Thanks for joining me, pal. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Mike Jakubowski, he's an industrial arts teacher out at Hampshire High School doing great work. These kids are getting trained in fields that you don't even imagine are out there for high-paying jobs that are in demand, and it's right at our fingertips. We just need to do more to give these kids more opportunities to succeed, and they're doing out there at Hampshire High School. It's 9:50 in the morning. We'll be right back. Lou's last call this morning is Lucy in Hoffman Estates. Hi, Lucy. How can I help you?
I'm debating on, I'm taking a tub out of the bathroom, the main bathroom,
yep.
and putting in a walk-in shower. I'm debating between a fiberglass base or what they call solid surface base, but I need it to have a bench on it. Do you have any recommendations or an opinion?
I would rather do a solid surface base because it's more forgiving, or you could do a tile base and have them build in a bench for you and use something. There's a product called Tile Ready Base.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Which is
I don't want to deal with the grout lines on the floor.
Then I would do a solid surface base with a bench because it's more forgiving. And if there's ever a little crack or something like that, you can reshape it and bring it back together. Lucy, I am just bumping out of time. Thank you so much for calling. Easy, John. Hi, it's me, Lou Manfredini. I'm taking my first trip to Alaska. Yep. Hope you'll join me. I'm getting Facebook messages from people saying that they can't get this music out of their head. You're welcome. My wife and I and my kids are going to be heading up June 5th, 2019 for a 7-night cruise on the Regent Seven Seas Mariner. I'm excited to be hosting this sailing from Anchorage to Vancouver with our friends from Kelly Cruises and Tours. On our itinerary, we're going to visit Mendenhall and the Hubbard Glaciers, enjoy a full day at sea as we cruise the Inside Passage, visit Alaska's capital of Juneau, Ketchikan, and other port towns to enjoy a taste of Alaskan life. We're going to take the train up to Gold Rush Trail. How about salmon fishing? I'm doing that. Kayaking, I'm going to do that too. Or a seaplane ride. There's so many free shore excursions to pique your interest and satisfy your sense of adventure. The Mariner is a luxurious ship with spacious staterooms and impeccable service. There are several choices of restaurants serving award-winning cuisine for dining, nightly entertainment, and pre-dinner cocktail parties. Onboard gratuities, champagne, premium wine, beer, spirits throughout the ship are also included. You can call Kelly Cruises, 630-990-1111, 630-990-1111. Join us. We're going to have a wonderful time north to Alaska. We're going north. The rush is on. Hi, John.
You know, I've been on that trip.
I know, it's beautiful, right? I mean, you were part of the reason that convinced us to go.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but if it doesn't go well... If
oh, no, it's going to go well. Why is it not going to go well? It's going to go great.
It's going to go great. In fact, I just... here's a scene. So I'm sitting on the deck, and I think virtually every suite on that boat has its own private little balcony.
It does.
And I'm sitting there with a gin and tonic probably in my hand, and I'm looking on my little private balcony at night, and the moon is casting a line of light across the water. And I'm just sitting there as we're cruising along, and I'm thinking, this is just so wonderful with the moon illuminating the ocean, and I'm on this boat, and we're sailing along. And as I'm doing that, a giant whale comes out of the water and breaches across the moonbeam. And I thought, this did not just happen. I mean, if it didn't happen, I'd make it up. It was so spectacular.
Did Geppetto or Pinocchio come out of that at all?
Can I also tell you one thing? I know we got to go, Lou, but yeah. Your idea that at the end of political commercials on TV, the stations run a disclaimer that shows the truth or accuracy based on PolitiFact or something of the ad is such a good idea.
If they all did it, it would change the conversation.
So everybody
has to do it.
I know. You're right. Right. Because all the stations.
Right.
But so you can say whatever you want. You can lie all you want on your TV commercials if you're a politician. But afterwards, we're going to just run the score, the honesty score of your ad. And then we'll see how much everybody's ads change.
Exactly. And that kind of thing could help change the conversation.
That's why I'm voting for Lou Manfredini for Supreme Court.
Gotta go.
There he goes.